Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch it.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Less than a half minute away from a tie this week. And now Roethlisberger to an E. Victory formation. And the Patriots, with their first losing record on the road since 2009. And they've now fallen behind the Houston Texans. After week 15, Texans won yesterday, coming back late to beat the Jets. The Patriots now have to focus on taking care of business next week at home to clinch an AFC East Division title.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, welcome into Felger and Maz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. No Felger, no Maz. Instead, you get me, Jim Murray, alongside the sports vulture himself, Adam Jones. Us two all week long. Marshall Hook is going to be with us over the next few days as well. Good afternoon, Jones.
Oh, good. It's a lovely day out at Big Jim. It's the birds are chirping, the sun's shining bright. It's a lovely day out there, I thought, no?
Yeah, it's... That's one way to look at it, I guess, if you were delusional. Because while it's technically a re-entry Monday here on the show, we're going to be all Patriots for the next 4 hours, and rightfully so, as we dissect yet another give-you-the-sting, weak ruiner of a game. As the Patriots go into Pittsburgh, lay an egg, they lose 17-10, they fall to the third seed in the AFC playoff picture. And I just want to give you a heads up, those listening, those viewing, right off the top here. If you're planning on calling into the show today is not the day for positivity. Delusions of a Super Bowl championship in Atlanta in about a month and a half, and any moronic permutations you might have and how the Patriots can get the number one seed in the AFC, I can't have it. I won't. No, not today. It ain't happening.
I like that rule.
It's a good rule. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it because it's delusional and stupid and moronic. So this is a day for saltiness. It's a day for venom because it's deserved. This team deserves it right now. And frankly, I don't know any other way in how to react to a performance like that, or actually two straight performances like that. And this team just looks like an aging, sloppy, directionless mess. And it's safe to say that you, Jones, I know you've been licking your chops ever since that thing ended a little after 7 o'clock last
what,
night.
Me?
Yeah, you feel the same way. So we'll start with you. What are some of your takeaways from this awful loss in Pittsburgh yesterday?
Well, so I was ready, and I spent time at the end of last week so that I wasn't going to be accused of like making this up. I spent time at the end of last week going, you know, if the Patriots win this game, I'll admit that everything I've been saying since last summer was wrong about the Patriots. I was wrong about this team. I thought that this team was a little different, beginning with Brady versus Belichick, going back to the Seth Wickersham story, maybe even going back before that to trading Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought that between that friction with the team to Brady and Gronk skipping out on OTAs to Bill not giving Brady any help, all the way through some of the bad losses we've seen earlier in the year, other games where they've been held to 10 points, like they were held to 10 points yesterday, I thought this team would be different. But you know what? If they beat Pittsburgh, of course they're going to take care of business against the Jets and the Bills the last 2 weeks of the year. They're going to win their 12 games. They're going to get their bye week. They'll have beaten Pittsburgh like they do every year. I'm like, okay, I'll throw my hands up in the air. I was wrong about the Patriots. I thought they were more vulnerable. I thought that they were closer to the pack than they've been, and I was wrong. But if the Patriots lose this game, a team they never lose to, regular season, postseason, home, away, blowouts, close games, they always beat Pittsburgh.
Haven't lost there since 2011.
Especially when Pittsburgh's trying to give them the game and the rest of the AFC is lining up for them with the Chiefs dropping a game on Thursday. Home field advantage was right there for the taking. They never lose games like that. Never. And they do it with an uninspired, sloppy game, 14 penalties, Brady throwing the worst pick you're ever going to see. No, this team is exactly what I thought they were in the offseason. They are vulnerable. They are closer to the pack than probably any point since 2009.
Yeah, and I know you had them pegged at 11-5 like I did before the season. You took a lot of flack when you said that, as did I, especially on social media, which of course is a sewer. But I just think that you were realistic with the way that you looked at this team, and I was too. And it wasn't just all the behind-the-scenes stuff and, you know, the Palace Q and the Seth Wickersham stuff. It happened immediately right after they lost the Super Bowl, and that defense was a sieve and got carved up by Nick Foles, who made a deal with the devil to have the postseason that he had. You had Rob Gronkowski immediately talking about retirement and that whole thing going back and forth. Brady not showing to the OTAs, which I didn't think was that big of a deal, but it does seem like, well, he's taken a huge drop.
I think
compared
that's where
to last year's MVP season.
They teach
had.
How many timeouts you have in OTAs, actually. That's where they teach that.
Yeah, and, you know, just how to be more responsible with the football when you're in the red zone and you're in a bit of a dogfight game against a team that's fighting for their lives and, like you said, acting as stupid as you could possibly be, trying to give you the game in the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they played that thing. But, no, he's like... He's been a shell of himself, at least compared to his MVP season last year. There's a lot of issues with this team, and I didn't think that they made that many improvements on defense, and that's certainly proven true. No, I picked the Steelers this week, so I'm with you. Like, are you looking for, are you slamming the desk and saying apologize? Do you want the apology?
No, I don't need an apology. I just want fans to just acknowledge that the team's different. You don't need to apologize. I don't even need to hear Jones, you were right, or anything like that. Just acknowledge that this is not the same team that it's been for the last, I don't know, 10 years, going back to 2009, they're not the same team they've been, where it's automatic they're going to be in the AFC title game, and then, let's see, maybe that game's a coin flip, and then they're in the Super Bowl, and maybe they win that. They're not that kind of team.
Yeah, you're sticking your head in the sand if you think that.
And they're much closer to the pack than that, and I feel like a lot of fans have fought that. Oh, well, they beat the Chiefs. See, it's still the same team. Oh, they beat the Vikings. See, it's still the same team. It's not the same team. And I think if we learned anything the last couple of weeks, and especially yesterday, because they've lost a lot of games in Miami over the years and some head-scratching games. So if fans still weren't convinced after the Miami game, fine. Fluke play in a building you always lose in, fine. Yesterday should open some eyes because, again, they never lose to that team.
Yeah, you know, a lesser man would sit here right now and not ask for an apology. A lesser man would sit here and say, hey, I told you so. See, were you paying attention? Of course they were going to lose this game in Pittsburgh yesterday. A lesser man would do that. I won't. But even, you know, the way that you talk about how this team has played on the road this year, when you even look at the three wins that they have, well, it was a track to pull essentially against the Jets for the first half of that game when they start Tim McCone at quarterback.
Yep.
Josh McCown at quarterback. So it's 10-10 going into halftime, and that was way closer of a game than it probably should have been. The one against the Bills was way closer of a game than it should have been until late, and Devin McCourty seals it with
against,
the pick six.
Against the quarterback off the street in Derek Anderson.
And then again, the game against Chicago, you were a yard away from having that thing go into overtime.
Yep.
And then that could be a coin flip and how that thing ended up playing out. So those aren't even really that great. They've been wretched on the road all season. That's why I wasn't that surprised. I'm pissed about it because now, you know, I was hoping to be wrong. I really was. Because I do still care about this team a little bit too much, and typically they do go in there and beat the bejesus out of that team. The Steelers have looked like they're trying to not even make the playoffs the way they played over the last month. But ultimately, was I surprised? No, because they're just not that good.
So you said you're pissed. What are you most pissed about? I mean, outside of just them losing a game they always will. Like, what specifically has you pissed about that game?
As a card-carrying Tom Brady Bobo, he's my favorite professional athlete I've ever had the pleasure of rooting for in my whole life, no matter how much of a delusional weirdo he becomes off the field, especially when he's trying to hawk his TB12 stuff. His play over the last couple of weeks has just been infuriating. He's come to the pack in terms of some of the quarter, and he's still good, obviously, but, you know, I expect great. And there's been a real dip here, and I'm convinced that there's some sort of injury, but that doesn't excuse stupidity, like you've seen the last couple of weeks. At the end of the first half against Miami, where he has, you know, he misses a wide-open Chris Hogan and ducks out of that throw, and then supposedly forgets that they don't have any timeouts and how he handled that whole situation. And then that interception yesterday that Joe Hayden made, you know, great play, credit there. But that throw, dude, you got to eat it, or at least try to throw it out of bounds. And we'll play the sound coming up in the next segment. You know, he at least took it like a man in his post-game press conference, but what he said on that particular throw, I found jarring. Not infuriating. I mean, he essentially said, like, well, I tried to throw it out of bounds, but I couldn't. Ugh. So what? Is age actually catching up? Can we talk about that now with the people freaking out? He is 41 years old. For him to say that, he's essentially admitting, yeah, age is catching up.
I mean, you know, he's forgetting and losing track of how many timeouts there are. That's a sign of old age. And he can't get the football to the sideline. So, yeah, I don't think that should be out of bounds to talk about Brady and you know, if not falling off a cliff, just age catching up to him.
Hook, you say it's not automatic that they make it into the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Does it even seem likely? Much less automatic. I mean, when I look at it right now,
I've been saying since before the year, I don't think they get there.
I see the Chargers in there. I mean, they couldn't beat Pittsburgh, which was the team that was, what, fourth or fifth down on people's list in the AFC. They lost to Miami the week before, yes, on a fluke play, but it wasn't as though they looked dominating in that game before that. I don't see them in the AFC Championship game. Not automatic. I say not likely.
They're not getting there.
They're not getting there. And this was the thing. Like, I told both you guys, I honestly, I looked at it and I said, well, I'm going to be in with an angry Jim Murray and, you know, the everyday Adam Jones. I need to bring some positivity to this. There has to be a positive to take out of this game. There has to be. And I even asked other people. I'm like, come on. Here's what I got. Your kicker is better than their kicker.
Good kicker.
Yeah. Not tough to be better than Chris Boswell right now.
Your uniforms looked better.
Well, I would agree with that. I love those Patriots road uniforms.
That's what I got.
Big fan.
Yeah.
That's the whole list?
Quite literally, those are the positives. And if you want to get excited about J.C. Jackson, then you know what? Have at it. You can do that. I believe Felger would say you can do that on your own time. There is really nothing to get excited about out of that game. Nothing. There is no good to be taken from that. If there is, I invite the callers. You got 4 hours.
Well,
tell me anything good to take out of that game. What do you have?
More time in January. More time in January to do, you know, whatever odds and ends you got to do after the holidays. You know, more time to hang out with people after the holidays. More time to, I don't know, return Christmas gifts you don't like, things like that. I think you're going to have a lot of time in January.
You're not going to need to make those travel arrangements or worry about those hotel rooms.
Yeah. You don't have to block out the Sunday for the AFC title game. Like, you can enjoy that. You can go do something with your family, do something with your friends.
It'll be nice.
That's a plus.
There we go.
That's something to look forward to.
I think you can definitely take that out of that game.
Yeah.
Well, when you know, you had asked me what are the things that infuriating me, and immediately it's Brady. Well, in the defense, so a positive. I thought the secondary was really good yesterday, and the fact that they held that team to 17 points. If you told me that going into it, I was like, okay, the Patriots are going to walk away with a win. They'll get to 23, 24,
yeah,
hell, even 21. But as good as the secondary played, their front four or the front of that defense as a whole is garbage. And so it's been like up and down, much like this team has been all year. If you're getting a bit of a push and you're actually getting to the quarterback, the secondary's been trash. And yesterday, it's vice versa. And boy, were they bad yesterday. So, okay, maybe Danny Shelton might have been able to make a difference. I immediately tweeted about that when I saw that he was an inactive for the third straight week. But, man, they are getting gouged in the running game. The last 3 weeks, it has been an absolute disaster up front. And it didn't really matter all that much in terms of points yesterday, but in terms of the length of drives, you're going to have a lot more hands on the hips against the defense. They're going to get gassed, which they did. That is not going to be fixed. What are they going to do? I mean, even if they start Shelton, how much of a difference is really that going to make? It might make a tiny bit of a difference, but any team that's going to be facing them, you know, the next couple of weeks, the Bills, the Jets, that's not going to matter. They'll win those games. But the team that they go up against in that first round of the wild card weekend, because I don't think they're going to get the two, it could happen, they're going to run it right down their throats.
The you know that drives Bill nuts, right? Like, not being able to stop the run has to drive Belichick insane, which is why I would disagree with, I know Mike's been big on this, like, it's been a good year for the coaching staff. I would disagree with that. I lump in Bill completely with all their struggles this year. They're 3-5 on the road. That's the sign of a poor coaching staff. You can't get your team ready to go. That's a sign of a poor coaching staff, or at least a good coaching staff having a bad year. The penalties yesterday?
Oh, my God.
If any team took 14 penalties, we would blame the other coach. You have to do that with Bill. And I would say things like special teams outside of last week in Miami sucking all year and Bill not being able to fix it and not being able to fix the run defense. Those are two things that he prioritizes. Those are two things he believes in. He can't fix them. I'm not saying he's lost it, but it's just it hasn't been a good year for Bill either. I'd have him on the list as well.
Welcome to the depths of darkness here, Felger and Maz, and it's Jim Murray in the a-hole chair along with the Dark Knight himself, Adam Jones, all week long, and Marshall Hook is here the next 3 days too. You wanted positivity? Tough. You ain't getting it today. But you want to join the show, 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart, Billy Lanny behind the glass. As usual, you can open up the phone lines. We'll get right to you coming up. And also, I want to take a deeper look at Tom Brady's day and bring up some stats courtesy of Boston Sports Info on Twitter that prove just how bad Brady's been as of late, especially on the road. We'll do that next. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Maz.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
just a trying to throw it away and didn't.
Was that because you were jostled as you let it go, or?
Yeah, I was just trying to flick it out of bounds. Didn't want to take a sack, and just shouldn't happen.
Ugh. Felger and Maz, 98.5 Sports Up, simulcast on MD Sports Boston. No Felger, no Maz. It's Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys all week long. So that comment after the Patriots lose 17-10 to the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday, that comment from Brady left me shook, Jones. You put that in the Felger and Maz processor, even when I heard it yesterday doing the postgame with Beadle, that sounds more like I'm beat up, I'm old, age is actually catching up to me, father time always wins. He tried throwing it out of bounds. I just thought it was a stupid play, that he was just trying to, what it felt like to me, and I said it yesterday in the postgame.
I was just going to ask you this. So you thought watching it live, he was trying to like lob it up to Edelman or Gronk or whoever was on the sidelines?
I thought it was late-era Brett Favre type stuff.
Got it.
Is what that was.
Got it. So he just missed the defender, or he's just rolling the dice or something like that.
I'm Tom Brady. I've made these type of crazy plays, or I'm going to do this.
Got it.
Intercepted by Joe Hayden. It was a good play. Credit where it's due there.
He admitted after the game he was trying to throw it out of bounds.
He couldn't.
Once in my life, Jones, I've ever seen a quarterback try to throw a ball out of bounds and it got intercepted. It was when Ryan Mallett, and boy, what a stiff he was playing at Arkansas, and it was their game against LSU in the rivalry game going back in 2011, 2010, whatever the hell it was. And I was like, well, that's the worst throw I've ever seen in my life until yesterday by the greatest quarterback who's ever played the position. Oh, my God, that was brutal.
I mean, isn't that Peyton Manning at the end of his career?
Yes.
Like, that's the kind of thing that we would poke fun at Peyton. Like, oh, you know, he throws pop-ups. He gets nothing on his throws anymore. They're all lollipops. So that was what Brady's telling you is that he tried to just whip it out of bounds, just throw it out of bounds, and he can't even do that. So I agree. I mean, I will say I kind of thought that's what he was doing watching it live. I didn't really realize maybe he was going full riverboat gambler and hucking it out of bounds. But whether you knew that's what he was doing or not, the fact that he can't get enough arm strength to throw it out of bounds is scary.
Yeah, and here's some stats to back up how bad Brady has been in away games this year, and it hasn't just been the last couple of weeks. This courtesy of Boston Sports Info, if you're not following him on Twitter, one of the great follows when it comes to Boston Sports and stats and stuff like this in the area. But it's at Boston Sports Inf. There wasn't enough room for the O. He tweeted just a little while ago, Tom Brady in the fourth quarter of away games in 2018, 44 for 67, completion percentage of 65.7 for just 517 yards, two touchdowns, three picks. His rating is 80.3. Ugh. Ugh.
And that's with, I mean, look, I look at the weapons they have now. Do you think their weapons are okay now?
I mean, on paper.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that maybe that's a better way to say it. I mean, if Gronk is breaking down and if Edelman's not 100% and Gordon had a bad day yesterday, I think their weapons are fine, though. Maybe they're not the best that Brady's had, but I think the weapons are fine. Some are underutilized, like James White, but I have a hard time looking at the rest of the offense, in other words, and blaming them and saying, well, Brady has nothing to work with. I feel like Brady has enough to work with.
He does. He does. And, we'll get to this later. I can't for the life of me understand why James White is essentially, you know, not even part of this offense over the last couple of weeks. So that's more on the play caller and Josh McDaniels. But, yeah, I mean, he does in theory. But still, Rob Gronkowski, up until those catches he made in the fourth quarter, that wasn't a good game for him.
No.
Julian Edelman all of a sudden has frying pans for hands. I mean, drops occasionally have been an issue with him. But since he's come back from that injury this year, I feel like that's happened more often than not, and they've been at backbreaking times like they were yesterday. You got a dumb procedural penalty from him yesterday. Like, he's been off, too. So, yes, in theory, he's got weapons, but I just think some of those guys they're not close to what they used to be either.
So let me ask you this. On the final, if you want to call it, series, you know, when they had those final chances at the end zone at the very end of the game, at least two of those passes sailed over everyone's head out of the end zone. Was that him just throwing it away because there was nothing there, or were those bad throws? Because to me, I'm looking at them, and either answer to me is bad. Like, if you can't hold on to the ball for a little while and try to find somebody who's open because they were quick throws, then that's bad. If also at the same time, those were actually supposed to be catchable throws, when it's a foot and a half over Rob Gronkowski, then you know that it's not a catchable ball. But I can't decide which one of those things those throws were.
That's more of a question for Greg Bedard when he's here tomorrow and he gets a look at the All-22 and he charts this thing out. I do know this, though, Hook. The last throw that Brady made for the incompletion, he bailed out on again. And you saw that last week. And it looks like how he played against the Tennessee Titans at the beginning of November. So either, and there was really nobody in his face or coming at him. He ducked out of that throw. So what is that? Is he protecting himself from an injury, which I think is what it is? Because I don't think all of a sudden the greatest quarterback of all time is now somewhat afraid to play the position and getting hit.
Well, just, I mean, at some point, doesn't the accumulation over the years, you just say, this isn't worth hanging in there on anymore. Like, doesn't, whether he's nursing something else or not, don't you hit that line in the sand in your career at some point where it's just like, hey, you know, I wasn't committed enough to go to OTAs all the time. Maybe I'm not fully committed to hang in the pocket on all these throws. Like, at some point, there is a line where you just say, it's not worth it to hang in there on that anymore.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, the immediate greats that come to mind, I mean, Favre took a beating until the very end.
True.
I mean, Peyton Manning essentially did, too. Hell, even Dan Marino. That's what's been so jarring to watch Brady and the way he's played over the last month and a half, of the ducking out of throws.
That last throw. Giardi had a good look at it from, like, the end zone camera,
yeah,
where he falls out of it. Like, he's Kobe or something. He falls out of it.
And no one's near him. That's what's brutal. Brutal performance by Tom Brady. As bad a performance I've seen from him. And again, I'm a card-carrying Brady Bobo. In a big must-have-it game since maybe the one that always comes to mind, and it's a game that they won, was the AFC Championship game in 2012 when the Ravens came here?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
2011. That,
oh,
the,
when Cundiff missed the kick? Yeah.
I thought
you were going to go all the way back to, and maybe I'm missing another game here and there, but I thought you were going to go all the way back to 06, the game in San Diego.
Oh, yeah, he was bad in that, too, but got bailed out, you know, on some crazy plays,
yeah,
the Troy Brown interception thing, that, and you know, all that. But no, that AFC Championship game here against the Ravens, the Billy Cundiff, Lee Evans drop game, Brady was bad in that game and admitted as much after the game. And so credit where it's due, he did own it like a man and has the last couple of weeks, but boy, what a mess. Again, no positivity today. I won't have it. We're not doing it. But I want to hear from you. Now's the time for Venom and Venting, 617-779-0985. We'll start off with James all the way out in California. You know, you're first up here on Felger and Mass today. Hey, James.
I just want to talk about, I said back in like August this was going to be 2009 all over again. I don't even think they're going to win their last two games. They're going to miss the playoffs. They need to fire Belichick and trade Brady.
Well, I do like that kind of vitriol. That seems a bit drastic, though. They're not going to lose at home to the Bills and Jets. I will say this, Jones, though.
Uh-huh.
Those are going to be more competitive games than I thought that they were.
You think?
Yeah. You know why? They didn't face those quarterbacks before. And if Sam Darnold plays the way he did on Saturday night against Houston, they're going to get a game from the Jets in the last week.
That's true. It was Tim McCone and Derek Anderson off the street. That's true.
Yeah.
Not Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. True.
And Josh Allen, a mobile quarterback, and now it seems like the passing's coming along as well. They're going to get games from those will be more competitive games than I thought that they would have been a couple of weeks ago.
Fine. You think they'll win them, though, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I think they'll win them. I will point out that I don't think the Patriots are going to miss the playoffs and that Belichick's going to be fired. I don't necessarily think that. But I'll meet you with close games down the stretch. Maybe one of those two quarterbacks will give them a game. Sure.
Yeah, and I've said for now weeks, well, really since, you know, the Miami debacle. Like, because after the Vikings win, I was one of those fools that said, oh, everything's fixed. Look at the defense is actually the stronger part of this team more than anything else. They're going to be the one that carries them into a deep run of the playoffs. Foolish me, because the defense was god-awful the following week in Miami. No, all the parallels to 2009, I think, are pretty much complete. The only thing that we're missing is what team knocks this team off in the playoffs, either wild card weekend or in the divisional round, if they happen to get there.
We need taking, like, open shots at Belichick, too. That's what we need.
So
we're getting some veiled ones. I feel like I don't know that we're getting direct shots at Bill like,
yeah,
Adalys Thomas.
So Mike and Tony have, you know, kept me in check on this too, because when I make those parallels to 2009, I mean, that's the bitchiest of all the teams during,
yep,
the Brady Belichick era. At least they have a better personality and they haven't quit. There's no quit here. They're just not that good. That's what it comes down to. And they have an aging quarterback. They're old and just not that good.
Yeah, they're not getting blown out like they were in New Orleans. And yeah, I mean, that's true. They haven't quit. I guess that's fair. Although they've had some blowout losses earlier in the year. Hmm.
They don't have wins that feel like losses. Remember the Carolina game here? It was Matt that started. I think they won it like 13-10.
No.
It's like, what the hell am I watching here?
I don't remember that.
That year is seared in my brain. Just like this year is ending up seared in my soul. Like,
no,
what the hell am I watching here?
That's what we need, though. We need someone openly taking shots at Bill. But then it's 2009. Then it's just, we're right back in the time machine. It's 2009. Adalys Thomas and his Jetsons comment. That's what we need.
Ernie in the car. You're next here on Felgerless Felger and Mass. Hello.
Ernie.
Murray, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, listen, why don't these guys pay somebody? You can't win with these players that you have. When will they understand the Belichick way is not the way no more? You must have talent. Get some guys. What are they doing with all the money?
Well, so now, Ernie, this is a good point. When it comes to Bill the GM, because I'm not going to doubt Bill the coach. I'm not. And, you know, I know when you've been on at your normal slot, you've brought up his age and maybe the game is starting to pass him by a little bit. I'm not going to go that far with it, Jones. But Bill the GM, and the work he's done there the last couple of years, I think has been borderline atrocious. And some of these guys that he's brought in as free agents, like Adrian Claiborne, who's useless, making the trade for Danny Shelton, who's been a healthy scratch the last 3 weeks. Like some of those personnel decisions, Coney Ealy back to last year. It's just one swing and a miss after another. And he is, and this is where he's been wrong, where at this age, where was he on record saying, you know, at this point in his life, his coaching career, he really only wants to deal with guys that are malleable and that will take to coaching.
Oh, that was to Urban Meyer, I think. Urban Meyer relayed those comments where, at this point in my career, I just want to coach guys who I like to coach.
Well, reap what you sow then, Bill, because sometimes to get talent, you're going to be dealing with mercurial personalities and guys that might be a little bit of a diva. But you want to have talent, don't you? Because otherwise, you end up with scrubs that really can't play.
Yeah. Well, at least he's coaching guys he wants to coach now, Murray. At least I'm sure he's having a nice, fun year with the way this is going. At least Bill's having a good time. And hey, nobody died. You know, it's just...
Oh, right. Nobody died.
Bill's having a good time. He's coaching who he wants to coach, and nobody died. So what... But, I mean, let the guy, he's coached for a long time. He's won a lot. Let the guy have a little fun.
I do want to focus a little bit more on Bill, though, and how this team was just not prepared at all. The penalties proved that. We'll touch on the 14 penalties amassed by the New England Patriots in the 17-10 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. And more of your calls coming up here on Felger and Maz. It's Big Jim and Adam Jones in for the guys this week. Marshall Hook is alongside as well. Right now, he's going to get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gostkowski for the point after try. The snap from Cardona will be delivered to Allen. He has it. Whistles down. There's a flag. And a false start on the Patriots. So New England guilty again with a mistake.
Offense.
A give to Sony. Runs it to the left side across the 50, 45, 40. Outside to the 35 of Pittsburgh and winning out of bounds. Eventually the ball not free from behind. However, there is a penalty.
Holding. Offense. From the 77.
And he gives it to Michelle blitzing for Steelers guest right. Though there's a flag on the play. It's a false start on New England.
Steelers were in a neutral zone, which made Edelman's
offense number 11. 5-yard penalty.
Julian Edelman first got down. Called. Throws down the middle with a flag on the play. And a diving grab by Edelman rolling across the 45.
Illegal formation.
Oh,
offense number 11. Covered number 87.
What? Second Players straight penalty on Julian Edelman.
5-yard penalty. First down.
This he's is had a drop in this game.
And inexcusable.
Penalties on back-to-back snaps. And now Gostkowski will attempt a field goal try from 28 yards away from the near hash as Cardona snaps it to Allen. Early movement, flags fall, false start on New England.
Okay.
So the Patriots are going to back up 5 yards.
False start, offense number 6.
Bill's asking, how can you call it on the holder?
He takes the snap. He drops back. There's early movement. And a flag is thrown. The Steelers say it's on the Patriots. The officials concur.
False start. Offense. Number 77.
And a run up the middle. And Michelle carries it to the 2 and another penalty on the play.
This
a flag thrown in by the referee, John Perry. It's coming back with a hole.
Holding. Offense. Number 61.
He takes the snap. Flags fall. Another penalty on New England.
Another tackle move.
False start. Offense. Number 62.
Yeah, you go home. You can take that slanted hill in the back. You know, they put that incline. They can practice false starts all day up and down that. Get the running in.
Brady takes the snap. Drops back. Stands in. Throws to the near side for Gronkowski. There was contact. The ball's getting past. There's a marker down. It's in the backfield.
Holding. Offense. Number 69. 10-yard penalty. Second down.
Shaq Mason with the call. The Patriots came into this game with 22 fewer penalties than Pittsburgh. The roles have been reversed today. The Patriots with over 100 yards of infractions.
It's a good call. Arms underneath.
14 penalties, 106 yards.
Yeah, that was great. Credit to executive producer Jimmy Stewart putting together that montage of hell of the 14 penalties. Patriots flagged a season-high 14 times for 106 yards in their 17-10 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. Felger and Maz, no Felger, no Maz. Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys, 98.5 to Sports Hub, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Jones, I don't know how you feel about this, but to me, if you have that many penalties in a game like that, you're unprepared, you're unfocused, and you're hungover from the previous week's terrible loss. And that ultimately falls on the head coach.
I mean, 100%. 100%. And I don't know that we've seen penalties the same way, but we've seen the team constantly not ready to go on the road. Constantly. That's how they're 3-5. And we mentioned those three wins, and you could play this game all day. They easily could have won the game in Miami. So they're 3-5. Their record is what they are. But the Jets and Bills, tractor pulls, as you put it. The Bears, they beat by a yard. So they've been a bad road team all year. Or they don't have a convincing win on the road yet. And they're done with their road schedule. Their next road game is going to be in the playoffs if they get to that point. So, yeah, I think that's a major problem. And I would just say be consistent if you're a Patriots fan. Like, if it was the Steelers yesterday with 14 penalties for 100-plus yards, we'd all be poking fun at Mike Tomlin, who, oh, he's in over his head and his team's so undisciplined and he doesn't have any control and how do they keep him the head coach there and blah, blah, blah. That's what we'd be doing with Mike Tomlin if the shoe were on the other foot. So you have to do that with Bill and the coaching staff. They didn't have the team ready to go. And I don't know, they don't seem very disciplined at this point in time. That message, which I'm sure they were sending, hey guys, stop jumping offside. Hey guys, stop holding. That message they were sending clearly isn't getting through, and that is on them.
And that's on Marcus Cannon and Trent Brown, who I thought were the absolute, outside of Tom Brady, worst players on the field yesterday. Those guys were jittery messes from Jump Street, especially on that right side. I liked how all T.J. Watt had to do any time before the ball was snapped was go, ha! And Marcus Cannon would freak out like he saw, like an elephant saw a mouse. Ha! Ha! How many times, how many stupid procedural penalties on those two guys because they were jittery messes from the beginning of that game until the end of
it? So I think the singular most costly one was on Cannon, I think. That was, you kind of thought the Patriots had the game in hand. It's 14-10, Harmon gets the second pick, when the Steelers, like it's Benny Hill, just run into each other like idiots, right. And it goes right into the hands of Harmon, and you're like, ah, oh, here we go. Patriots are on the move already. It's the fourth quarter. They're only down four. They're going to punch it in the end zone and take the lead somehow, or at least get a field goal and close the lead. Like, you felt pretty good about where they were at. And they're driving, and next thing you know, Marcus Cannon with a hold. The Patriots were all the way down to the Pittsburgh five. Marcus Cannon with a hold, and then the next play, a couple of plays after that, is the Brady pick. That Cannon hold was ridiculously costly. So ridiculously costly.
Do you think that they got jobbed by the refs yesterday?
No, of course
I've
not.
Heard this refrain since
no,
yesterday.
Were there bad calls? Sure. The Jonathan Jones interference was bad.
Wretched. And that guy, the back judge who was 25 yards away from the play, like Zoe brilliantly called out during the game, can't be throwing that flag. He did that. That was, and it was as ticky-tack a call you would see. So they got hosed on that one. But beyond that, no. And so after the game, too, so I forget the name of the head ref yesterday that was dealing
John
with
Perry.
John Perry? Is that who it was?
Perry?
Whatever.
Yeah.
One of these moron refs. But he explained to Tom Brady during the game, hey, we're going to be calling the holding calls a little bit tighter. That wasn't just specifically in that game. If you've been paying attention, and don't get me wrong, I hate this, and I don't know why they're doing it this late in the season, for whatever reason that, you know, the NFL front office in New York has called down to the refs and say, hey, call, we want more holding towards the end of the season. It's been a great year for us. Let's get the refs more involved. If you've been paying attention, from Thursday night on,
that Thursday night game was a debacle.
Oh my God.
So many flags.
One hold after another.
Yeah.
Same with the early game on Saturday between Houston and the Jets. Tons of holding calls. You've seen this uptick in holding calls starting on Thursday night. It wasn't just yesterday. Goodell doesn't have it out for the Pats. He's not trying to ruin the dynasty or anything like that. No, it's league-wide. Why? I don't know. If you want to go into a conspiracy theory there, have at it. But this wasn't just Patriots-specific.
Yeah, I mean, the theory would be keep offenses on the field, more points, higher ratings, more fantasy stuff. I mean, that would be the conspiracy theory. But yeah, I don't think it's specific to the Patriots, no.
And other than that one pass interference call,
Were all legit.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you look at them, and even the hometown broadcasters are looking at it going, yeah, you know, that was
it did
clear.
Happen.
I mean, these were some of the clearest penalties I've seen. There was no need to review, no need to. I mean, they have just become, and I don't know if this statistic is still true, but I know going into the game, they were the least penalized team in the NFL. So, I mean, it was this choking because it was a big game. Every little thing that I look at, it's like picking on a thread on a sweater. The more you start to think about it, the more kind of concerning it becomes. Why did they suddenly become this wildly undisciplined team? Was it because they were in a big game? Isn't that the antithesis of what the Patriots are? They're the ones who, you know, buckle down in the big game. They're the ones who wait for everyone else
especially,
to crap the bed in a big game.
Especially against that team.
Exactly.
And the Steelers were trying to give them the game. The Steelers were trying to give them that game, and they couldn't take it. That's eye-opening. With everything we've seen out of the Patriots for two decades, the other team gives them a game, they always capitalize, especially when the team is the Steelers, and they couldn't do that.
And it was the complete opposite. Basically, the Steelers sat there and let the Patriots kill themselves.
It looks like a stupid, sloppy, undisciplined team. You typically don't get that, especially in December.
But your kicker's better, and your uniforms were nicer.
I do love those pants uniforms.
The time off in January. Yeah, don't forget about that.
All right, a long commercial-free segment is coming up next. I know you got a lot of venting to do, and good. Venting and venom, that's all we want today. So as soon as someone drops off, you can get on at 617-779-0985. Want to get the fallout from you as the Patriots fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers. When's the last time we've said that? Especially on the road. Hasn't happened since 2011. 17-10 yesterday. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is it disturbing to you or troubling at all that some of the same issues as a team keep showing up this late in the year?
Nah, I don't know what you're talking about. What's the issues?
Penalties. Drives getting bogged down. Defensively, obviously, I mean, you're not on the side, but stopping the run. Some of these things have existed for a better part of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess those are. You know, I had two penalties myself, and you gotta get better. Gotta get better.
Julian Edelman getting a little prickly with that question there. What's been up with this team on the road? What are the issues? What issues? Oh, I don't know. Do your eyes work? How come your hands kind of don't work, Jules? Why have they become frying pans in big moments time and again this season? What's going on there?
Probably all the beard oil. You know, it gets on his hands. Football's a little slick. Maybe that's what's going on.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. So you got to get those essential oils into the beard so it doesn't start to stink and it's a little bit more easier to work with.
Yeah,
maybe that's
pops
what's going
a little
on.
Bit, yeah.
Do you make anything out of that? Or how about the fact that it took, 40 minutes for Bill Belichick to finally get to the podium and address the media after this loss?
So you might have a better working theory on this. I was listening to you and Beatle a little bit last night while everyone was kind of waiting for them. And, like, was there ever an answer? Was there ever an explanation as to why the Patriots took forever to come out there?
No, not to my knowledge.
So if you had to guess... I can only come up with a few scenarios as to why that would be. That thing's normally like clockwork, right? You're on after every game. Normally after a loss, somebody's hitting the podium right away.
Beadle and I, me and Beadle in the post game, and it's been Jim Love producing the last couple of weeks. We're down at Splitsville, and immediately we're like, well, it's a loss. He'll be on in five minutes.
He'll be out in no time.
So we're only going to have a couple of minutes to yammer about this, and then we'll go right to Belichick. It took almost 45 minutes.
Kay.
That never happens after a loss.
So the only reason I say that is if listeners don't know, the post game normally works like clockwork. There's
right.
a certain scenario for wins, there's a certain scenario for losses, but it normally follows a pretty specific routine. So when it takes a long time like that, and that's not normally what happens, I would venture a guess that it's one of two things. Either the coaches ripped into the players and read them the riot act, and it took a long time, or the coaches did their normal thing, though Belichick didn't hit the podium, so maybe there's a hole in my theory. And the players said, hey, let's talk it out amongst ourselves now that the coaches are out of here. But either way, it's not a great sign, and it's not a sign of a functional team. That's a sign of a dysfunctional team.
Yeah, we're only left to speculate. That's what we do here. And I, as a drastic person who sees life as glass half empty, that's immediately what I went to. Either Belichick lit into them and read them the riot act, or the rest of the coaches did, or there was a players-only meeting. They've lost two horrendous games. in a row here, and this one yesterday, to only have 10 points on the road against that team, and you hold them to 17. Again, I said it earlier. If you told me going into this, oh, the Patriots are going to hold Ben Roethlisberger on that offense and those wide receivers, Smith-Schuster and Brown, to 17 points, Pats are going to walk out of there with a win. You put up 10. No, something was afoot there.
And I'll tell you, too, and this has jumped into my head, because I would lean more towards Bill ripping into them. Just because he didn't hit the podium. Like, again, if Bill hit the podium and then the players took forever to come out, maybe it's a players-only meeting. I would think it's probably Bill ripping into them, and that would fall on deaf ears if I were a player. And I think you're starting to see Bill's thing is falling on deaf ears with at least this group. Maybe you get a new group in there next year. It'll be effective like it was after 2009, and you got to break up the room. But if I'm a player in that locker room, and Bill wouldn't take any accountability for the loss last week and the personnel that was on the field, I'm sorry, I'm starting to tune you out. So when you're yelling at me for jumping offside and holding or whatever else, that's going to fall on deaf ears. You're not taking any responsibility, Bill, and it starts with you. So I think you start to see some players not take a heck of a lot of responsibility, too. I think that's some of what you saw.
All right, it's Jones and Big Jim in for Felger and Maz all this week, and you at 617-779-0985. We'll go to Matt in Framingham. You're next here on Felger and Mazless. Felger and Maz. Hello, Matt.
How you doing, fellas? As much as Bill is not blameless, and trust me, there's a lot I could say about Bill, especially when you look at the overall picture. Yesterday didn't strike me as a coaching problem. I mean, the team at first, it wasn't the reason they lost. It's the play out. It's the mental mistakes from Brady, the way he played. I mean, he could. I think the reason that he was so honest about that throw was he was more insecure about making the bad decision. He didn't want to make it sound like he made the mental wrong decision, which would be to try to huck it up there and then to Gronk, which is exactly what they did at the end of the game for three straight plays, second down, third down, fourth down. All three of those plays, White was wide open in the flat, wide open, uncovered, like no one near him. This is what Bedard will tell you tomorrow, too, because I saw it live, and he's going to see it on the All-22. The plays were there. It was the mental mistakes. He looked like Phillip Rivers just tossing it up in the air. That's not the Patriots way. You know, you hit someone underneath and, you know, with some momentum, and they can run it in, you know, make a move.
Thanks for the call, Matt. On that last series, go ahead, Hook.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure that mental mistakes often fall under coaching.
I mean, that's what I think. When you say it's mental mistakes and it's just, it's not unique. It's every week on the road, then that has to fall on coaching. But yeah.
You can play the... If it were the other way around, mental mistakes, you know we'd all be hammering.
We'd be pouncing on Tomlin. Yeah.
Tomlin, they can't do anything right when they're on the field. No discipline whatsoever. Tomlin's a clown. Oh, when it's Bill Belichick, it's not his fault, man.
Well,
it's not
his fault. On that last series, and specifically the last play, what the hell is Cordarrelle Patterson doing out there? Because Josh Gordon would be the guy that I would think would be able to get the ups.
Josh Gordon not
chucking it into the end zone.
Was Rob Gronkowski not available? I mean, he's always good for the last play.
So he was out. He was out there.
So that's something you can get on the coaches for as well.
Gronk, Edelman, Hogan, and Patterson. Those and White, I think, underneath.
Yes.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why Josh Gordon wasn't out there. I don't know. He had the one catch early. He had the drop on a third down, and then you didn't really hear much from him. I mean, he was on the field for a ton of snaps, but you didn't hear him do much of anything, and he wasn't out there on the final play. So that's worth following up on throughout the week. Certainly worth eyeballing. I don't have an explanation for it, but that was strange. Yeah.
Let's go to Donovan in Missouri. Oh, the hurdy-gurdy man. Hello, Donovan.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
I think we have to talk about McDaniels and the play calling down there in the red zone in the fourth quarter with the three plays left. Every throw was to the end zone. What was it, 3rd and 15, and they threw a ball to the end zone? I just think it was a terrible decision. I just think it was bad play calling.
I think from some of the post-game commentary, that it sounded like Brady kind of directed that. Because what Brady didn't want to do was have a play go in bounds, run out of time because they were out of timeouts, and bleed a bunch of clock. So maybe that's part of the reason he didn't check down to James White on that third down play, though I think White easily could have gotten out of bounds, so I don't think that holds up there. It sounded like Brady even specifically told the guys on the field, run verticals to the end zone, try to find a soft spot, and I'll find you. So I don't know if that's on McDaniels or not, but it sounded like Brady wanted it to play out that way.
Yeah, on that last series. But what did you make of McDaniels earlier in the game? Overall, I mean, after that 63-yarder to Hogan, where he's the most open player in the year in the NFL, and I thought that was actually a great play call.
It was.
Beyond that, it felt like he didn't get Gronk involved enough in the first half at all. Same with Josh Gordon. And James White, for the second straight week, has been non-existent in this offense. So I don't think overall it was that great of a day.
No, I don't think it was a good day for the whole coaching staff. I always feel weird putting it on McDaniels because it feels like we're not putting it on Belichick when we do that. That always feels like a way to kind of, you know, keep away from putting the full brunt of it on Bill. Like, the personnel packages to me would be Belichick. If James White's being managed, that starts with Belichick. Some of the play calls, you want to put that on McDaniels, that to me is probably fair.
All right, let's go to, who's this? Jeff in Billerica. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. So obviously 11-5 is still the most likely result this season. But as of right now, today, you know, personnel and talent-wise, is this team better or worse than their 9-5 record?
Jones, are they better or worse than their 9-5 record? They should have... Well, you know what's tough to digest right now is to look at these teams that they lost to earlier in the year, like Jacksonville, who now has 10 losses, and the Detroit Lions, who have 9. And those were complete no-shows. They got their asses kicked in those games. So those felt like those were underachieving-type losses.
But then they have some good wins. They beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They beat the Bears. Like, they do have some good wins.
I think they're exactly their 9-5 record, right?
Yeah, but so I kind of do too. But if you had to pick one, yeah, we got to pick one or the other. That was the scenario he laid out.
I think I
would skew that way too. It's close, but I think I would say
they're 10-4 team, then maybe. But I honestly think they're exactly 9-5. The way they've played has been, you know, they've even been either been very good or very bad. Like, they haven't been mediocre. For the most part, they've been kind of one extreme at the other, which ultimately, when they've been bad, they've actually won some games where they've been bad because they've got tools that overcome it, which you put all that into a pot and mix it up, you get 9-5, which is they're not as good a team as these other ones in the AFC. They just aren't. I mean, yeah, I know that they beat Kansas City. Do you think they'd do that again? I don't think so.
No, I said it to Beadle yesterday. I can't believe this team even beat Kansas City at this point, the way that they've looked the last couple of weeks. Well, this loss to Pittsburgh yesterday certainly has no shortage of terrible stats from it that are difficult for Patriots fans to digest, such as this one. I saw Zach Cox of Nesson tweet this last night. The Patriots have allowed 7.64 yards per carry over the last three games. It's the worst three-game mark in franchise history. And the fourth worst by any NFL team since the merger. Oh, my God. I knew they were bad against the one in the last 3 weeks, but not that bad. But if you think that's bad, oh, there's even one that I think is way more brutal that comes from this loss yesterday. We'll tell you that and continue to take your phone calls at 617-779-0985 right after the Sports Hub headlines with Marshall Hook. Long commercial-free segment here on Felger and Mass.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.